Copa, 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 Copa. Yatora dula, iri baladhari gopal. Gopal, gopal, gopal. Gopal, 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 Gopal. Dayananda Yashoda Dulal Giribaladhari Gopal. Dayananda Yashoda Dulal Giribaladhari Gopal. Gopal, 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 Gopal. Gopal, 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 Gopal. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, before starting with the 62nd quality I would like to read some something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which will enable you to make your stay in the sacred lap of Giriraj even more, let me say, fruitful or effective for your spiritual advancement. I thought it was a very nice idea that Braj Bihari Prabhu requested us to talk a little bit on the Giriraj Tattva, the transcendental truth surrounding Giriraj. And just this morning while reading Bhajan Rahasya, a wonderful point came up which is very good for us to hear. Rupa Goswami says that all aparadas which a conditioned soul makes actually stem or come from a material vision, a material perspective. And he gives us a very nice analogy which can help us overcome the material perspective. Whenever you feel you see a devotee with material eyes, you can very nicely and conveniently use this analogy, and you will for sure see the devotee with spiritual eyes. So here we are at the sacred site of Giriraj, and we wish to see him as Haridasavaya, the dear servant of Krishna, and as Krishna himself. We discussed this yesterday. For this, we pray that a spiritual vision graces our blind eyes and gives it seeing power. And here is this verse, which you have heard already from Upadeshamrita. Drishtai svabhava janiter vapuchas chadoshar na prakritatvamiha bhakta janasya pashyet gangam basam nakalu buddhavena pankayar brahma dravatvam apagachi niratradamai. Even if you should observe flaws in a devotee's body that are a result of natural processes, you should never think that his body is composed of the material energy. The Ganges River, and now comes the analogy, is liquid Brahman, and it does not lose this nature, even if there are bubbles, mud or foam on its surface, as happens to all bodies of water. So, as we look at Giriraj, I cannot see any fault, but we might, there are no faults, but it's only sweetness surrounding him. But we might see him as an ordinary, or let us say, extraordinary mountain, because just you will agree with me, you have never seen such a mountain which has such stones and such atmospheres and so on. You should never see Giriraj as an extraordinary mountain only. The example which is given is Mother Ganga, who is liquid Brahman, fluid Brahman, who may sometimes carry a dead cow or the waste water of Calcutta and so on, but who never loses its transcendental potency. I must admit to you that this analogy has helped me to stay alive in our international attempt for becoming Krishna consciousness, or ISKCON. There are sometimes disturbing things which we can observe in the lives of the practicing devotees, but if we always see go to another level, that they are devotees. They are engaged in Krishna's service. They have come after a long journey to perform sadhana bhakti. They are glorious for this. In the falls, they may come and go like pieces of wood or even sometimes rotten substances which are in the Ganga. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes this point and explains it in a very nice way, which I would like to read to you this morning. And then we will go right into the loving devotees surrounding Lord Krishna. O Lord Hari, the water of the Ganges may show the same characteristics of any river, sometimes becoming polluted and being filled with bubbles, mud and foam. Despite this, this water never abandons its true nature as Brahman in liquid form. The body of the Vaishnava is similarly always transcendental, and even though it may undergo the same transformations as any other human body, it is never mundane. One who criticizes the devotee's body on that basis falls into the most atrocious irreligion. This offense results in suffering the torments of hell. O son of Nanda, O Krishna, protect me from ever making such a terrible offense. Your devotees, Lord, are an aspect of your divine glory. You can meditate about the devotees as being a spark in the halo of Sri Nandanandana Krishna. Your devotees, Lord, are an aspect of your divine glory. May they give me their blessings. If they do so, I will always keep moving in your direction and will eventually attain shelter in the shade of your feet. I think this last verse is composed for us Giriraj lovers. Your devotees, O Lord, like Giriraj, are an aspect of your divine glory. May they give me their blessings. If they do so, I will always keep moving, move on, in your direction, and will eventually attain shelter in the shade of your lotus feet. Wonderful, isn't it? This is taken from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati song. As a practical note for this, I would like to encourage you to remove some bubbles and foam from Giriraj. As you walk home, you may pass a plastic bag or some paper which was wrapped around some eatables and so on. Please bend down with joy and take these paper, plastic bags and so on, this foam which covers Giriraj, and bring it to the waste paper basket, and in this way you perform some nice service. It is very nice if you do this. This garbage removal is a very nice service for devotees. Okay, so we will now come to Krishna's 62 qualities, and I think you will all just melt in ecstasy upon hearing this. Krishna's 62nd quality is called Prema Madhuya. He is surrounded by loving devotees. You must know that the devotees who display the greatest amount of love for Lord Hari are also the devotees who evoke or solicit or draw the highest love from him. And these are the devotees in Vrindavan who only have the desire to make him happy. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there appears a verse which compares the love of the devotees in Braj, which the purest type of gold, which is found at a mystical river called the Jambunadi. It doesn't flow here on this planet Earth. This gold is special because there is not even a speck of non-goldly substances in there. So in the same way, the love of the devotees in Braj is special because it is so spotlessly clean that there is not even a whiff of self-motivation. Here comes the verse for you. The love in Braj is pure as gold from the Jambu River, and there is not even a speck of personal happiness in it. This means the desire for personal happiness. I would really like to tell you this in form of a little Leela, which maybe you have heard already. Krishna once wanted to demonstrate the tremendous amount of love which the gopis have for him, and therefore pretended to suffer from a headache. When Narada Muni came and asked him what would be the medicine to drive away that headache, Krishna said, "Dust from the lotus feet of my devotees." "Oh," said Narada, I'm back in a second. That's easy to get," said Krishna. "You will not get it." So Narada Muni immediately went to Varanasi, where he was sure to find the most learned Sanskrit scholars, the Pandits, and asked them, "You have a chance to serve Bhagavan by giving him a medicine against his headache. Give me some dust from your feet." The Pandit said, "What? If we take the dust from our feet and give it on the head of Krishna, we will go to hell. We will never give you this. We don't want to suffer." "No." "Okay," said Narada Muni, and went to the Dwarka Mahishis, the queens in Dwaraka, and said, "My dear queens, Krishna has a headache, and the only thing which cures it is dust from the feet of his devotees." Radha Madhava, you have just appeared. Please look back in this direction. The queens of Vrindavan have come to give you happiness in your eyes. So when the queens heard this, that they should give dust, they said, "No, we will never be able to do it." Narada Muni said, "Why not?" The queen said, "You must know, Narada Muni, we would serve our Lord, even if it would mean that we would go to hell. We won't mind to go to hell. They were on a higher level than the Brahmanas. But there would be a problem, because if we would be in hell, we would be separated from Krishna. Krishna is coming to our palaces every day. We are living together with him, but he rarely comes to hell. That's not a place where the Lord usually goes. So we would suffer. We don't mind the hellish tortures which we would get in hell, but we would suffer nevertheless because Krishna is not coming." So Krishna came back to Narada Muni and said, "I asked the Pandits and your loving queens, and both denied giving the dust. I don't know who else would give it." "Ask the gopis," said Krishna. So when Narada Muni came to the gopis, he saw they were neither Pandits nor were they queens. They were simple village girls. And he had no hope to get dust from them. But he repeated Krishna's request and said, "Krishna has a headache, give him your dust, please." The gopis immediately gathered the dust from their lotus feet, put them into bags and said, here, you will get a lot of dust. What, said Narada Muni? Your dust has touched your dirtiest part of the body, the feet. Are you not afraid of going to hell? The gopis said, we don't mind going to hell as long as Krishna's headache is solved. So this means no selfishness is here. And I would like to now sing to you, singing is not my strength, read to you a song by the most dearest gopi, Srimati Radharani, who has offered her whole life in service to Krishna. And when you hear this song, you will most probably not believe that what you hear is true. Continue to listen anyways. Are you ready?
Yes.
Jagatarini, you have just arrived to hear the most nectarian poesy which you have heard. It is from Govinda Das, and it expresses Srimati Radharani's love in utter selflessness. Srimati Radharani is very much at the end of her days. Krishna has left Mathura for Mathura. She is very, very, very much in separation. She says to Lalita, my dear Lalita, here take this locket which Krishna has once given to you, to me. I will give it to you now because I will give up my life. I cannot keep my life as in my body. But you must promise me, all you sakis, and sakis cry, you must promise me, I have planted a tamal tree just near the Yamuna, which reminds us of Krishna. Please give this tamal tree regular water. And then Srimati Radharani goes into a forest of kadamba trees, totally overwhelmed with feelings of separations, and faints. At this time, her sakis come and begin to sing the holy names of Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra. And because the holy name is not different from Krishna, Srimati Radharani awakes from her mucha. Mucha means fainted condition. And she sings a song which is just so, so extremely wonderful that it makes us even choke to say it. Please hear it very carefully and with the utmost of respect. May the earth in my body become the ground on which my Lord can place his reddish foot soles. May the water of my body become the lake in which Sri Hari bathes. All the five elements, she goes through all the five elements. May the fire in my body become the mirror in which my Lord can see his face. And may the air from my body become the wind with which he is fanned. May the ether become the sky so that the monsoon cloud of my Lord can float conveniently in it. Govinda Das says, O Srimati Radharani, tell me, how can the Lord keep himself away from you? This is called love. There's actually no comparison to the sweetness of the love, and because it is selfless. But Srimati Radharani cites an example in her life which can make us a little bit understand the selflessness of her love. It is the example of the wife of a leprous brahmana. How do we say it in correct English? Leprous stricken brahmana, maybe? leprosy-stricken Brahmana. Leprous. A leprous. Or we can say a leprous Brahmana. That's very easy to say. For those of you who are not doctors or studied in, do not know the disease leprosy, it's a disease which eats away your body, your body almost looks like melting away if you catch it. The bodily cells, which are in this way melted away, emit a fragrance, or not fragrance, an odor which is highly repulsive to the sense of smell. It's a terrible disease, and those who have this disease are usually requested by social convention to go to the edge of a village because it is apparently also infectious. So they suffer in two ways, from excruciable pain and the expectation of a near death, and also from social disdain, which makes the disease doubly as torturous, because the only really joy a diseased person has is the compassion of others. But a leper will be driven out of the village. You know, he suffers traumatic things and usually becomes very crippled in his mind as well. It's a terrible disease. So Srimati Radharani cites the example of a very wonderful woman whose husband was stricken by leprosy. This husband was served by this woman. The woman did not give him up, but served him very faithfully until one day the eyes of the husband fell on a certain prostitute who was very beautiful, and he desired her company. And so the household was a poor household, and whatever was there was consumed by the disease of this very ill person. So his wife saw the desire of her husband and went to the prostitute and served her for 1 year. Finally, the prostitute asked, "Why are you serving me so much?" The wife said, "It's because of my husband who wishes to spend time in your company." The prostitute says, "But your husband is a leper. How will this cannot happen." "I will continue to serve you," said the wife. And she continued to serve the prostitute until finally the prostitute's heart melted away and she was prepared to show herself in her naked beauty to the husband. So the husband was brought to the prostitute, and the prostitute very severely preached to him. It's a long story, I will make it short. Now, on the way back, something happened. I believe her name was Anasuya. I'm not 100% sure. What? Not Anasuya. She carried what? She carried him on her back, and it was night, and they passed by a saint whose name starts with M, Markandeya or something. It's not Markandeya Rishi. So they passed him, and the body touched the saint who had for 1 year performed austerities to become free from everything which contaminated him. When he was having this sticky, glue-like substance of the leper on his body, he gets, my whole year is in vain. You sinful wretch, you have destroyed 1 year of austerities. You will die before the sun rises. So the wife went to their home and heard this, began to think, I must avoid that the sun rises. By my if I've ever been a chaste wife, please, the sun may not rise. So when in the morning Aruni came with the horses in order to pull this chariot in which the sun sits, the sun was stuck, or the chariot was stuck, and the sun could not rise. The universe remained dark and cold. Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva took note of this, and they thought, why is the sun not rising? I mean, all the life will stop. We are in charge here. We must take care that the normal course of astronomical movements takes place. So they found out that it was due to the tremendous power of this woman who was had steel-like austerity or chastity behind her. And they were very impressed. They went to the woman and said, my dear woman, listen, the sun has to rise and your husband will die. But after it, we will make sure that he is revived to life. And this is what happened. Aruni could move. Finally. Whew. And the sun was rising. The husband died. But by the blessings of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, he got back his life. This is an example of selfless love. I do not know which wife here in this assembly would be prepared to serve a prostitute just so that her husband sees her. Most probably the wife would take on a boot, two boots from Germany, and kick the husband in his sacred behind and throw him out of the house once and for all. Because it's highly insulting to a wife if the husband goes to another woman. What to speak of a woman who is practiced in the art of deception? It would be totally, she would lose all the respect from her husband and not be able to serve his whims in this way, or not be willing. So Srimati Radharani says this is, it describes this to describe her love. She says, if Krishna wants to see another gopi, she will go, Radharani will go and serve that gopi because she pleases Krishna more than herself. This is the selfless mood of love which we in this world can simply not imagine. You must admit. It is here it is where all our wires of intellectual comprehension go bzzz and are quickly smoldering and say, I'm sorry, I cannot understand this type of love. This is beyond me. this is not my own. You must also understand that in the Madhurya Ras, in the exchange of love between Srimati Radharani and the gopis and Krishna, there is not a whiff or a speck of selfish desire. In the Kama Shastras, if you can bear with me for a second, the Shastras which talk about lust, it is said that it is simply not possible in a combination of or wife, a woman and man, that there is no selfishness in the transaction. Sometimes high idealed people may say, oh, I am only serving you, but it is simply not possible. It is ontologically, psychologically, biologically not possible in this world to be selfless. in this type of love. It's not possible. But in the spiritual world, the selflessness is there, and we just cannot understand it. It is not within our experience, in other words. The gopis are so attached to Lord Krishna that they lament that Krishna is not with them when he goes for his cowherding pastimes into the forest of Vrindavan. And then when they see Lord Krishna return, they continue to lament, only for another reason. Their lamentation is so sweet that you must hear it in their own words. "My dear Krishna," the gopis say, "during the daytime when you go out into the forest of Vrindavan with your cows, we consider one moment to be as long as 12 years, and it is very difficult for us to pass the time. And again, when you come back at the end of the day, by seeing your beautiful face, we are so much attracted that we are unable to stop looking upon you constantly." You might now ask, so yes, they should be happy that now they can at least look at Krishna constantly. Why do they lament? Listen to this. You will not be able to understand, but listen to get purified. "At these times, when we see you, huh, upon your return, when there is occasional blinking of our eyelids, we condemn the creator, Lord Brahma, as a dunce." Dunce means a foolish person. "Because he does not know how to make perfect eyes." What they say is, you fool. It's not that you don't know how to make eyes which do not blink. You have made such eyes and given them to the fish. Eyes, fish don't have eyelids, at least there are fishes who don't have eyelids. I don't. Huh? Some eyes have no eyelids. That's not known. So, but you, after already knowing fish eyes, you have failed to give us fish eyes. You have given us some foolish mistaken viewing instruments which don't do the job. They always blink, and then we cannot see Krishna. This is the mood. Imagine. The same love you can the same love is wrong to say, but when we say Krishna is surrounded by loving devotees, we should not only mention the gopis, although they are the highest devotees, we should also mention the cowherd boys. Do you know that the cowherd boys experience great existential anxiety when Krishna disappears momentarily from their vision, because while walking he passes by a tree? When Krishna moves by the tree, they can't see him for the fraction of the second as he is behind the tree. The cowherd boys are almost dying with existential anxiety. Hare Krishna Keshava. I certainly don't deserve such a wonderful garland. These ecstatic symptoms of Krishna's devotees become clear in the following quotation from the Nectar of Devotion. Here, a devotee expresses to Lord Krishna what happens to him when he hears the flute of Krishna. So, when you are in love, every little thing from the beloved person invokes your love more. I can imagine that if our Sitaram Prabhu hears the poetic warbling of his son Gopinath, he becomes highly incensed in loving emotions. We may see there is no direct rhyme and rhythm in here, nor is it even faintly resembling Sanskrit. Why do you smile so happily? The answer is because there is love present in the heart, and it is evoked by anything which comes from the beloved. You know, that's why we, in Krishna consciousness, we drink the bathing water of Lord Krishna, because it arises our love. Oh, this is the water which has bathed my Lord. So here is a devotee who hears from the distance the sound of Krishna's flute, and he expresses something. My dear friend, as soon as I heard the sound of your flute from within the forest, my hands became almost motionless, and my eyes became full of tears, so much so, in fact, that I could not recognize your peacock feather. My thighs became almost completely stunned, so that I could not move even an inch. And then, this is so beautiful in Prabhupada's language. Therefore, my dear friend, I must acknowledge the wonderful vibration of your transcendental flute. I must acknowledge, it is just wonderful. Now, why do we say this love is so wonderful and so sweet, which is there in Vrindavan? The reason is that the amount of love which the devotees in Vrindavan feel is so made that they do not approach Krishna any longer with awe and reverence, but in an intimate mood, sometimes equal or even superior to Lord Krishna. Krishna himself says this: Mother sometimes binds me as her son. I have heard when once Yashoda was telling no to Krishna. Krishna wanted to have more milk, and Yashoda said, Gopal, I've given you already more than your fill. Don't want more. And Krishna was so disturbed, he threw himself on the ground and began beating the ground with his hand. Said, Mother, milk, milk! At this moment, Hanuman came by. He just flew over it. And he saw it. He thought, what? Yashoda is not giving him milk? And Yashoda was just saying, go, Kanai. Enough is enough. I will have to punish her with my club. Hanuman has said he better doesn't go to Vrindavan any longer, that such a thing doesn't happen to him again. You know, he momentarily was just bewildered by Raj Prem. It is, mother sometimes binds me as her son. She ties him onto something. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. Like you remember, our Burijan Prabhu has read to us yesterday a wonderful quotation where Mother Yashoda thinks when Krishna goes to the forest, he will suffer very greatly. Krishna now talks about his friends. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big men are you? Ha ha ha. You and I are equal. This comes forth when once Krishna had lost a game, and it was the rules of the game was he had to now carry the winner's side on his shoulders, but Krishna felt tired and said, today I will not carry. All his friends went around him and said, Gopal, on what strengths do you not want to abide the laws of our game? Krishna felt highly uncomfortable. He said, I'm the son of the king of Nanda. Ha 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 ha, said the friends. What kind of big men are you? The He has just a few more cows, and now you think, because of your father's grand possession of a few more cows, you are not entitled to follow the rules of the game? This is an unacceptable proposition. Give another reason. So they pressured Krishna and pressured Krishna until finally it came out of his lips what should not have come out. Krishna said, I don't need to carry anyone because I am God. His cowherd boyfriends wouldn't take, oh Gopal, you are very truthful today. You have said so many things. Now you say you are God just because you don't want some proof, please. And then Krishna did it to them. He told them, just close your eyes this one moment. They closed their eyes, then they heard a voice, open your eyes. And they opened the eyes and saw Narayan with Lakshmi in Vaikuntha on the Singhasan. The coward boys looked around. There was no Vrindavan. Felt extremely uncomfortable. They looked at him and said, Gopal, come back, be normal, please. But they were stopped. Don't talk like this to Narayan. You must come from, I think you, one Vishnu Duta said, you come from a village, huh? So by now they were crying, Gopal, please. Play with us, you know. Narayan was so distant, so he said to them, "Close your eyes again." So they closed the eyes again, and they woke up, or they came up in Vrindavan. There was Krishna looking very timidly. So the cowherd boys said, out of sheer love, "Okay, today you don't have to carry anyone, but tomorrow." You have to carry. This is when you lose, when your side lose, you should maybe go on another side, and then you win. But so on. Krishna felt so relieved because the coward boys had actually threatened him that they would not play with him if he would not abide by the rules of the game. And this is the highest threat for a child. It is highest threat. It is more than imaginable. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, says Krishna, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. He actually likes this. I have a quotation from a book called Philosophy and Religion of Sri Chaitanya for you, which tells you about the sweetness of the love. The prema of Yashoda makes the all-powerful and all-pervading Krishna allow himself to be tied by her. The prema of Nanda makes Krishna carry Nanda's shoes on his head. The prema of the wives of the Yakik Brahmanas makes Krishna beg food at their door. The prema of the Vraj Gopis is so powerful that it makes Krishna dance to their tune like a straw cast about by a stormy sea. The bliss Krishna experiences in dancing to their tune is even superior to the most concentrated form of ananda which Krishna enjoys in his own self. In other words, Krishna is dependent on the love of his devotees. And as we said yesterday, the love of these devotees of Vrindavan is so intense that Krishna feels unable to return it. Although he has stated in the Bhagavad Gita that he rewards the devotees according to the degree of their surrender, here the unconquerable Lord, who is also known as Ajit, is conquered by love, and he likes it. Even in many lifetimes, he says, he is adaptive to this love. And this is Krishna's own words. I am not able, Krishna says to the gopis, to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. That's very long. More than millions of years. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. My dear devotees, you must know that Krishna feels bound by the rope of the love of the devotees in Vrindavan. And he smilingly acknowledges that. In the Damodar pastime, after Krishna has just released the two fallen demigods from the bonds of karma, and after they have circumambulated him in the liberated form and go first to their planets and then back to Godhead, after Krishna has just performed such a feat as to break the bonds of the karma, he remains bound to the mortar where Mother Yashoda has tied him, and he smiles slightly. He smiles very subtly, and his smile says, I've just broken the bonds of karma, but I can't break this ordinary little tie, the tie of love which Mother Yashoda has bound me to this mortar. I have to wait until Mother comes and frees me from this. He smiles. He himself acknowledges he is totally captured by love. He's not afraid of this. Like Sitaram Prabhu did not take my remarks of his attachment to little Gopinath in any way bad. He acknowledges this. Yes, I love Gopinath. It is not something to feel bad about. It's, yes, I stand for this. When my son wobbles, I become enthusiastic. You know, the great minister of education of England is captured by love. This is very good. It's a glory. It is not something unglorious. And that is Krishna's quality of prema. It's much, much more than any example can attempt to show, but this is called prema madhurya. He is conquered by love, and that is his glory. Therefore, Krishna says, Vrindavanam parijaja padam ekam nagachati. Padam ekam means one step. Not even one step Krishna takes out of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. The cows like the stories because they feel very at home with such concepts. So Hare Krishna, now we will go into a very, very wonderful sweetness of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna's flute. I would just like, Radha Madhava, what does your wristwatch tell you? What time? 10:42. That's 15 minutes, almost 50 minutes to 11. I would request you to make a 15 minutes pause, but it will really be only 15 minutes, and then come back here and we will do some kirtan. Yes? Hare Krishna. This time, because last time it became 20 minutes or to 25, I will request one very timely bhakta. Radha Madhav, can you, after 50 minutes, because you seem to have an American watch which is not influenced by the Indian time concepts. Can you take a pair of castles and after 15 minutes go ring, 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 that everyone knows and comes back? Hare Krishna. So this next stretch I consider is the best part of this whatever I have to admit, what I can say. It is the sweetness of Krishna's flute. Bolo Giriraj Dharan Ki Hari Bol. Slowly, but it's still a little artificial. When you say it, it is extremely natural. Hare Krishna, see you in 15 minutes. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I want to congratulate all of you who have made it for this very, very sweet 63rd quality called Venu Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's flute. Srila Rupa Goswami praises Lord Krishna's flute in a very nice poem. He says, "Victory be to the sound of Krishna's flute, which has an unpredictable nature. It surpasses the sweetness of nectar, shatters the meditation of the group of saintly ascetics, and at every moment, the sound of Krishna's flute teaches the entire knowledge of the God of love." So from this we can understand that in Krishna's flute song there must be many millions of nuances of love which vibrate with it. And we will hear, we have to keep this in mind, that at every moment Lord Krishna teaches the entire knowledge of the God of love through his flute playing, in order to attempt to understand what you will hear now, which will totally widen your understanding of Krishna's transcendental flute. The best way to understand something which is otherwise imperceptible is to understand it by its symptoms. For instance, to understand the direction of in which a wind blows, people make these at least in Germany and maybe in America, they make these, they look like little windbags, and then they turn these windbags of wind flags with the turning of the wind. Or you can understand that there is wind, for instance, by looking at this tree here, whose leaves are moving. Of course, when you have Vrindavan trees, it's difficult to say if the trees are really moving because of a wind or because of their natural desire to perform arati to Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. It's a little tricky when you observe, try to make your scientific observations in Vrindavan. But suffice it to say, the effect something has on something else makes us understand a little bit that original substance. Rupa Goswami in Vidakta Madhava explains Krishna's the vibration of Krishna's flute by a certain effect which it has on Shiva, Kumara, Brahma and Anantadev. But I beg to point out to you that this effect is only of one type of Krishna's flute playing. We will hear other types of Krishna's flute playing quite soon. Here is Rupa Goswami's description. The sound vibration created by the flute of Krishna wonderfully stopped Lord Shiva from playing his Dindima drum. Shiva could not continue to play his Dindima drum. And the same flute has caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. The flute has caused Lord Brahma, who was sitting on the lotus flower for the creative function, to become simply astonished. And Anantadev, who was calmly holding all the planets on his hood, he was calm up till the time where he heard Krishna's flute, was moving in this way and that way due to the transcendental vibration from Krishna's flute, which penetrated through the covering of this universe. It seems to be a very powerful sound, and reached for the spiritual sky. Now, my dear devotees, you must know that this verse describes the effect of Krishna's flute when it is vibrated in the first tune. But Krishna plays altogether 8 tunes. So this is nothing, what you have heard. It's only something, because these personalities are for our benefit in the material world, playing the dindim drum and meditating on their lokas, respective lokas, that some indication is given by which we can understand. But we will now hear other tunes of Krishna and what they do. Tunes, it's a very difficult to say tunes. It is more, in German, the word would be Modalitäten of music. It's not modalities. Yet. It is, for instance, I could sing in one modality. Let me try to sing in one modality. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But I can also sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I would sing between. I would sing in minor. And so on. So there are 8 modalities altogether. They are not exactly tunes. You can have different tunes in cis or in Fis minor or whatever, but they are totally different. They carry different moods altogether. So the second modality, when a melody is played there, the river Jamuna stops. This is not enough. It begins to flow backward, and with its hands, who are the waves, it begins to embrace Lord Krishna's lotus feet. This is the second. The third stops the moon from moving. The moon has to stop. Please, Mr. Moon, remain here, says Krishna. We need you for some light effects in the Rasa Leela. And then the moon says, okay, I will stay here. When the fourth is played by Lord Krishna, the cows come running up to him and stand motionless with upraised ears to drink the nectar of the flute sound. The cows think, this is liquid nectar. I need a cup to capture it. What to do? And where is a cup available? And then the cow remembers, due to strong intelligence, my ears, when they are put upwards, serve as extremely efficient cups. Let me put my ears upwards and hold this nectar, not to even waste and lose one drop of it. This is when Krishna goes into the fourth tune or sound. The fifth tune or note, you could say, note is also good, brings the gopis madly running to Krishna, eager for his love. They are so out of their minds that they lose the natural womanly instinct to dress beautifully. A woman, you can give anything and she will immediately figure out how to dress it, put it on the body. But the gopis will sometimes put the upper garments on the where the lower garments belong and the lower garments to the upper, because, and that's why the word mad is used. The sixth note creates autumn. You might say, so what? Autumn, this is a seasonal phenomenon. But it will be autumn full with juicy fruits and rich foliage. When the stones hear this note, they become liquid. Stone juice. Stone juice. Hare Krishna. Now the seventh note instantly ushers in all six seasons, manifesting their full splendor. For instance, if it gets a little hot, Krishna can play his winter note, and then it's cold, and everyone reaches for the padded cloth which you wear in wintertime in Braj. All the specific beauties of each season. Now it is said in the Leela of Lord Krishna, I come now to an extremely confidential thing. Krishna practiced the art of flute playing. He didn't really have a teacher, at least Krishna has not told the teacher, but those who are making themselves familiar with the eighth note, they can, by using high intellectual maneuvers, figure out who might be the teacher of Lord Krishna. I leave this up. I will not express it so bluntly here. If you can figure it out by your intellectual moves, congratulations. If not, it doesn't matter. It is very difficult to figure out. So, up to the Krishna has practiced. He found out when he was very young, when he took the flute, that these wonderful phenomena started to happen. For instance, he found out when I play, all the Yamuna flows backwards. And he also found out stones begin to melt. But he was only satisfied when he learned the art of calling with the flute. He began to call the gopis. Now one day the Lord desired his rasa dance. He was already in his kaishora age. That means quite practiced in the art of flute playing. He had some experience. And it is said when he played the flute, in the midst, although it was nighttime, time for resting, all the gopis came like a stream of milk towards Vansivat, where he was playing the flute. He only missed one gopi. He carefully inspected each one. This one gopi had not been called. That meant his flute playing was not perfect as of yet. He asked everyone, where is this one gopi? Name is withheld at this time. No. And one answer was, well, she fainted. Now she's at the side of the Yamuna in the hut of Purnamasi, who applies strong medicines to awaken her. So Krishna went there with the other gopis. And Purnamasi said, Shyam, this is what you have done. You have played your flute and Radharani fainted. Is this good flute playing? There's only one medicine which will bring Radharani back to life. You have to play properly. And then Krishna invented the eighth note on the wonderful flute, which takes the name of Radha, steals her self-control, and forcibly brings Radha to meet her beloved Krishna. This is the explanation of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Radharani woke up from her deadly swoon, and there was Krishna playing the eighth note, which is only for Radha. It's a specific note which only is dedicated for Radha's pleasure. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this amazing effect of Lord Krishna's sweet, love-laden flute playing. Oops, Hare Krishna. He says, if you want to take this down in your notebook, it's from Madhya Leela, 21st chapter, text 113. It's an amazing shloka, and it says, the vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind, and the flickering minds of the gopis are like straws and dry leaves. When the whirlwind of Krishna's flute comes, it takes the mind of the gopis, and after they fall down in the whirlwind, they never rise again, but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. You will appreciate this verse only when autumn comes and you see a strong whirlwind taking dry leaves up, twirling them around, and then bringing them to a place from where they never move. This cannot be found in this material world, but Krishna's flute, I mean, dry leaves always continue to move, but Krishna's flute takes the minds of the most qualified individuals in the universe, the gopis, and moves it out of its steady position, whirls it around and around, and then brings the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna so that they cannot think of anything else than Krishna. The Madhya Leela compares the vibration of Krishna's flute to a bird. And it enters the ears of the gopis and makes a nest in the ears and always remains there, not allowing any other sound to enter. When another sound comes into the ears of the gopis, that flute song, which is captured, will say, no, go somewhere else. The vibration of Krishna's flute is just like a bird, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter their ears. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else. They are not even able to give a suitable reply when they are asked. Such are the effects of the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute. If you wish to find this verse, please open Madhya Lila, 21st chapter, text 144. Now you will be highly amazed, maybe even challenged, to hear that Prabhupada said that the same thing happens when we properly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A person who is absorbed in his chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra will experience the Hare Krishna Mantra to be like an earworm. Do you know what is an earworm? Do you have experience of an earworm? An earworm will go into the ear and not come out. Usually this is happening in mundane music. I want to tell you, sing to you the earworm of the Germans. Marmor, Stein und Eisen bricht, aber unsere Liebe nicht. This is a typical German earworm. It's a folk song from Central Germany, which maybe you don't want to hear it. You come from Germany? He knows everything, Deirdre. He knows too much. It's something not so wrong. Actually, we can say it: marble, stone, and iron breaks, but not our love for Krishna. For Krishna is an interpolation which is happening in recent time. So this is when you properly concentrate on Hare Krishna, you will hear the Hare Krishna mantra. It will always be with you. There is one particular godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, whom Srila Prabhupada loved very dearly, Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji. Govinda Maharaj reports, our Govinda Maharaj, that once he went into an ashram where everyone was crying and shedding tears, except for to visit Akinchan Krishna. And Akinchan Krishna was always in Nam Ras. He always tasted the holy name. There was nothing else. When he was asked, for instance, complicated philosophical questions, he would laugh and say, Hare Krishna. That was his answer. So everyone was crying in this ashram, and Govinda Maharaj wanted to meet Akinchan Krishna. So he saw him, and then he said, but where is the leader of the ashram, Madhava Maharaj? So Akinchan Krishna laughed with his Hare Krishna laughter, Hare Krishna, pointed towards a pile of earth and said laughingly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He has gone back to Godhead. only the holy name has a place in the ears and mind of an Akinchan Bhakta who has found the mercy of, who has gotten Nam Kripa, or the mercy of the holy name. Now Prabhupada, he talks about this. If you cannot believe what you hear now, don't believe it, but read it. It's in Madhya Lila 21, 144, same verse. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. In other words, the sound has fixed his position in the life of the devotee, and he is always in the Hare Krishna mood. This person has joined the Hare Krishna movement. I think all of us need to join the Hare Krishna movement, which is simply centered around the blissful chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. When you hear it, the chanting, first Krishna's form reveals himself, then Krishna's qualities, and then Krishna's pastimes and also flute song. You hear the flute of the Lord. Now, I wish to summarize what we have said so far, and then we will attempt to measure Krishna's flutes. We have here a measuring device, and this will be quite interesting. In summary, you must know living entities respond differently to the sound of Krishna's flute, with their individual expressions of ecstasies, of which the gopis are really special. So the hard and non-moving entities, such as stones, melt and flow. There is a lovable detail. When Krishna carries with his left hand the Govardhan mountain, Mother Yashoda is totally immersed in Vatsalya Bhava and very unhappy. And she said, the hand of my Kanai is soft as butter, and Giriraj is so hard as a rock. It will hurt the Lord. She doesn't say the Lord. It will hurt my darling son. But then Krishna says, no, Mother. Giriraj has made himself very weightless. He's floating. Yes, so I will believe you only if Giriraj starts making a round in the air. No. Then I will believe you that it is not painful. Now, to appease his mother and to heighten the ecstasy of the performance, Krishna, all of a sudden, with his right hand, takes out the flute and begins to play his transcendental flute. At this moment, Madhu Mangal severely protests and says, "Stop! This is not the time to play your flute, Krishna! We all know that the rocks begin to melt. What if it all comes down on us? And we are drowning in the ocean of liquid stone." But then, Madhu Mangal is severely corrected by the other cowherd boys, by the elderly cowherd men, actually. "Madhu, stop forbidding Krishna to play his flute. Giriraj is not as fickle-minded as you, young boy. He's very grave and composed. He will certainly keep his position. Don't worry, he's not like you." So the hard and non-moving entities usually begin to melt and flow. The calves stop drinking their mother's milk when they hear the flute. The birds stop in mid-air, or if they are really Rasika birds, they go to the next tree and then they glance a little from behind the leaves, which remind them of their sadhu existences when they were sadhus who hid in the caves of the Himalayan mountains. So they hide a little behind this leaf house, and then they hear with closed eyes the sound of Lord Krishna's flute. The gopis express their special ecstasy by coming to Lord Krishna in the dead of night. But the gopis also have a question to the flute, which the flute answers later. They cannot understand how the flute, who's after all only a dry piece of bamboo, can get all the nectar from Krishna's lips. And they ask this question, how to account for the great fortune of this flute, which is merely a dry piece of wood? How is it that this dry bamboo is able to constantly drink the nectar of Krishna's lips? What austerity has it performed? So when the flute hears this question, he becomes aroused. He thinks the gopis have no right to ask these questions, as if I'm totally unqualified, who have done nothing to aspire for this nectar. I have left my family when I was very young. You know, this bamboo grows next to the Yamuna, and then the seed fell into the Yamuna, and the Yamuna carried the bamboo seed somewhere else at maybe 5 kilometers away from the parents. Have you left your parents? Huh? Then I have stood for a long time on one leg only. And if this is not enough, my drinking didn't happen through the convenient mouth drinking arrangement. I drank through my feet, my foot. Then I was cut down, put into the hot summer sun for drying. Then they drilled 8 holes in my body. So much austerity, you cannot even imagine. I have every right to be always with Krishna and be touched by his lotus feet, lotus lips. And the Vrajvilasstava says, the fortunate flute deeply drinks the nectar of Lord Krishna's lips day and night. I offer my most respectful obeisances to this flute, which, with its transcendental music, weakened the pride of Srimati Radhika. So, my dear devotees, this was all quite abstract for some of you, I know, and some of you already show the signs of fatigue, or the signs of intense digestion, or however you interpret this. But now, all of you, please be with us. We will now go through the different types of flutes and tell you some secrets about them. The Venu is the first type of flute, which is 6 inches long. This is 6 inches. It has the thickness of a thumb, so it's quite strong and sturdy, it looks, and has 6 holes in it. Now the Murali looks totally different. It is 18 inches long. This is quite long. 7. This is 18 inches.
Can you hold it like a flute? Can you give us a better view?
I will show you the flute playing mudra in a second. And it has only 4 holes. I heard the Murali is used by Lord Krishna to create extremely low and deep sounds, but much nicer. And then comes the Bansi, which is 15 inches long. It has 9 holes. That is the biggest numbers of holes. Now, in the Vamsi, you have three categories. One is called the Mahananda or Samohini and is made entirely of jewels, a jewel float, a jewel Vamsi. The second is the Akashini Vamsi, which is made of gold. And the third is called the Giver of Pleasure, Anandini Vamsi. It is made of bamboo and is technically called a Vamsuli flute and is especially dear to the Gopas. I think, Burijan Prabhu, you have played a Vamsuli flute, or was it a Vamsi flute? Maybe general, yes. Now you must know for... yeah, Vamsi Vata. Yes, in the Vamsi Vata, there's a tree where the flute tree from where Krishna calls the gopis usually. Now you must know that in Nandagrama, that Krishna has many such flutes. And we have not yet exhausted all the flutes. We have reserved one surprise flute for you. You will not believe it. Krishna keeps all these flutes in a special chest in Nandagram, where he has all his many flutes. And then according to the needs which he has in the pastimes, he has the flutes Venu and Murali brought to him, not Vamsi. The Vamsi flute, he has no one to bring the Vamsi flute for him, because that has a special reason. Only the Venu and Murali flutes are carried by Bangura, Bringara, Raktaka and Pataka, who just carry this, you know, like it is said when Jimmy Page played, the immortal Jimmy Page, he would always have someone carrying, and his guitars, and I met Chapko, who was the guitar player of Jimmy Page, and he told me how arrogant this poor fool was, because he had actually a guitar carrier. Krishna has servants who carry joyfully his different flutes with him. But again, they don't carry his Vamsi flute because that is reserved for the gopis, and Krishna doesn't want his servants to be there. In Vidagdha Madhava, Rupa Goswami describes the sound of Krishna's flute drifted everywhere, stopping the clouds, astonishing the sage Tumburu again and again, interrupting the meditation of Sanandana and the other yogis, amazing Brahma, causing Bali to tremble with desire, making the king of snake whirl around and shattering the eggshell that contains the universe. We have almost gone through it, and then you can ask all your relevant questions. There is a very, very nice passage where Srila is a Nectar of Devotion, page 345. I've written it down so that you can read it, because it's so nice that I think some of you might like to put it in the notebooks of Vrindavan. It describes Krishna, how he looks like.
It's a black crow.
Oh. Hare Krishna. Actually, it is described that Krishna's hair at that time went back to his waist and it looked like crow feathers. He just wanted to hear that. Now we have talked sufficiently about your glories. Now you can conveniently move on. There are some other kirtans, prasadam, waiting for you, you know? Anyways, let him stay. So Krishna always had a small stick in his hand, which he used for cow herding. His clothing was a little longer, and he had usually a knot around his waist, which resembled the hood of a snake. He had it here, where he had his dhoti, which was tied. Huh? So imagine, long hair, clothing was a little longer, small stick, a knot here, and then Krishna running with great speed everywhere to take care of the calves near the house. Actually, it was before the scene which our Burijan Prabhu reads from, because Burijan Prabhu reads how Krishna got the cows and then went the first time with the cows into the forest, and how the forest of Vrindavan responded. But this is that how he looked when he, before the time when he took care around the calves, and he stayed around the house for that. And sometimes Krishna played with the cowherd boys of about the same age. Now in that time he had a slender flute and a buffalo horn bugle, and sometimes Lord Krishna played on a flute made from the leaves of trees. How sympathetic, isn't it? As boys, we sometimes took grass leaves and we went like, and when everyone got afraid, you know, I always made that sound just very near to people. They got startled, then I laughed happily and ran. So Krishna has a flute made from the leaves of trees. These are some of the symptoms of the end of Krishna's Kaumara age. Very nice. I have so many quotations. I have to tell you this also. Do you know that Krishna can create lakes by his flute playing? Listen to this. When Krishna was playing on his flute, Baladev very anxiously declared, "Just see how, after hearing the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute, Indra, the king of heaven, is crying in his heavenly kingdom. And from his teardrops falling on the ground, Vrindavan appears to have become a celestial residence for the demigods." Plung! Krishna's flute play created thing. Now, let me just end this little presentation on Krishna's flute by summarizing it, because we might have heard so many informations that we lost the red line. Krishna's flute sound carries different effects according to the modulation in which it is played. Krishna's flute sound is always an expression of his love. The love of Krishna's heart is coming to his lips and is then actually actualized, or you can say manifested, in sound. See, Krishna can do this. You know, he can use his energies in different ways. So the love of his heart is coming into sound. Therefore, no ordinary flute playing of this world can ever even give you a semblance of what Krishna's flute play must sound. It can maybe help you to look into a certain direction, and so on. But Krishna's flute play can only be heard by a conditioned soul in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and in the Kam Gayatri Mantra. It is said, when you chant the Kam Gayatri Mantra without sexual attractions, then you will be able to hear the flute sound of Lord Krishna. This is how powerful the flute sound. It is totally transcendental. And with this I want to also say, fee on you, fee on you, ordinary measuring device from this world. You have tried to measure the glories of Lord Krishna's flute by your 10 and 15 and 18 measures, but Krishna's flute is totally transcendental. Fee on you, measuring device of this world. We can never measure the glories of the Lord, but it can help us to look into a direction. And when we are purified, Lord Krishna will come from this direction, will come from any direction he chooses into our awareness. Hare Krishna, Venu Madhurya. Do you have any relevant questions? Isn't it nice to hear these quotations? I must tell you, I'm so grateful to you that I'm allowed, in the West I have never preached like this, that I'm allowed to just take my little nectar hunter's treasury box and just share a few pictures and sticks and things which I have kept in this treasury box for you to see. Thank you very much that you have given your attention to this little collection of treasures on Krishna's flute. Radhe Radhe, Hare Krishna. Any question? Jagatarini, the appreciator of Vrindavan. Yes. Krishna keep his vansi for only for his gopi, for the gopis. Well, all I know that there are many complaints by the gopis to this one particular flute with which Krishna calls them, and there are serious attempts for thievery which are often successful. We hear, even you have heard about breaking the flute. It must be a special flute they have in mind, because they are certainly not angry at the flute which calls the cows and so on. Once Lalita complained to Krishna, you are impossible. You are not even a knowledgeable lover, because love is to be kept secret. But what do? In the midst of Vrindavan, you go and you play, and then you call Lalita with your flute. Everyone hears it. I'm married. But it's a wrong, that's a wrong statement by Lalita. For Krishna's defense, we have to say that this flute sound Krishna calls individually and specifically different devotees, and the others don't hear it. So I do not know, but it is said that the servants of Krishna only carry Venu and Murali, and I do not know, maybe he has a vansi flute and he plays different modalities on it. I cannot answer this in an authoritative way. What happens when they steal the flute? They usually keep it secret, hidden, and a very preferred hiding place of Lord for Lord Krishna's flute is the braid, because you really can't. It is not perceivable when it's in the braid, because the braid is ordinarily very straight going down, so on. There are many pastimes around the flute, for instance, at Surya Kund, when Srimati Radharani is there with the highly entangled and entangling Jatila, Krishna is acting as a disguised priest who guides Srimati Radharani in her sun god of her family, in the worship of the family deity that is Surya Narayan. Hare Krishna Suchi Rani, welcome. So at the end of the procedure, where Jatila just cannot see through the disguise of Krishna, Jatila says to Radharani, now you must pay your obeisances to your priest. Srimati Radharani does it, and at this moment, when she goes down with her braid, the same thing happens when you bow down with a bag sack on your back. We had this one devotee, Sadanandi, did this demonstration. She paid her obeisances, and everything of her private collection in the bag sack just emptied out on the floor of Braj. Odomos, mirror, books, cartels, secret eating supplies, water bottles. It was really a collector's pleasure, what emptied out, and all the Vrishbhasis were going, because after all, it's a little private what comes out of a back sack of a Mataji. They went like... And Saranani was, you know, just like a with lightning speed, you know, collecting all her items and putting them back. So when Radharani bowed down, the flute which he had hidden in her braid just came out of her braid right before the eyes of Jatila. What? Said Jatila. I knew the flute. We immediately should make notice to Kamsa in Mathura. It is shown Krishna is together with Radha. He must come with the soldiers and capture this Krishna. Oh no, and you are supposed to be a chaste lady. You're married to my very noble son Abhimanyu. Oh, everything goes down. My whole life is... This is the turning point of my life to Yamaraj. I only will die in a moment or two. At this moment, Madhu Mangal, who's also dressed as a priest, said, you foolish lady, can't you think in a straight way? Why all with you Raj ladies always think crooked, crooked? They only think of man and woman, morning, evening, nighttime, only the subject. Learn to think straight. Krishna lost his flute on the Govardhan. Then it rolled down and came into the braid of Radharani. This is the most natural explanation for the presence of the flute. And you think of unnatural explanations and so on. And then Krishna says, if you, Jatila, please give me the flute. He's dressed as the Brahmin. I will bring it to Kamsa. And I will destroy it on the way. He takes the flute and has his flute back and feels highly relieved because he didn't know where the flute went. Many, many flutes. Once Jatila bursts into the room where Radha and Krishna were, Krishna, knowing it, has disappeared. And in two ways, not disappeared. The first way is an ontological problem which Krishna has. He can't really disappear, because even if he removes his wonderful body from any specific location, his fragrance still lingers in the air. So he is present by his fragrance. But here it was so fast. I mean, Jatila really burst into this room to catch the divine couple by surprise, that his flute was also there. It was still on the bed of Radharani. Yatila grabbed that flute. Like a criminal detective, she went outside and says, "I found the corpus delicti, the body of the offense. This is the flute." She called all of Vrindavan together. It was next to Radha on her bed. That means Krishna was there and he just escaped. This moment Purnamasi came and again said the same thing. Why always think so crooked? Why not think straightly and intelligently? Last night there was a flute rain over Vrindavan. And you will find flutes on every single bed. Just go in your sleeping apartment and you will find a flute there. All with these very, very complicated thoughts. And when Yatila went to check, there was a flute by the internal Lila Shakti of the Lord. It was there. There are endless pastimes about the flute, but I really wish to not go into this. I mean, one can go endlessly into this area, the Lila. I really wish to help you to bring the main point. It's Venu Madhurya. Krishna has the sweetness of a flute, and the particular sweetness is that the love of his heart is coming out of his heart into the music the flute and calls everyone. This is very special. It is nowhere else to be found. And in our summary of the four qualities, we will hear Krishna talk about this himself. And he will experience some frustration because he talks about it in Dvaraka. So Jiva Goswami puts an interesting question which every musician will like to our attention. He says, why did Krishna use a flute? He could have as well whistled. And he could easily produce all the sounds which he produced with a flute. Why make it more complicated? Like, I think you agree, when you have eyes who can see, why take a spectacles? It is an additional encumbrance, and so on. Why did Krishna take a flute? And not just whistle? It's a good question. It is for service. The flute serves Lord Krishna. And Jiva Goswami makes, just like a man can, and for pleasure. There is more pleasure in playing with a flute for every musician. I don't know who of you is a flute player. You. There is more virtuality and, you know, and it's more pleasure to have this thing and then go. So it's for pleasure, the enjoyment of the Lord. But Jiva Goswami makes this point. Just like the flute serves the Lord's enjoyment so that he can enjoy better, the living entity should be ready to serve the Lord like the flute with the many holes and so on. We should serve Lord Krishna's enjoyment. This is his point. Just like the flute serves Krishna's enjoyment more. So another point which I wanted to say, I wanted to ask you a question which maybe you can ask. What is living, although it appears dead and has nine holes? Oh, that was not a good question. Everyone knew it because we spoke about it. Normally you would say the body because it has nine holes. would be the normal response. But now we have heard so much about the flute, so that you already know the flute. It was not the right time to ask you this. I'm very sorry. It was anticlimactic. Hare Krishna. Normally it's the body. It's living, although it appears dead. Just 9 notes, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. So we will now ask Radha Madhava for his time calculation.
12:09.
12:09. Wow, it sounds extremely. No need to sound the cards. 12:09. Okay, so we will do one thing now. Do you have any questions? We will open the forum for relevant questions. Yes, Adamana. Chanting of the Maha Mantra like the flute sound. The way I understand this quotation is that Lord Krishna becomes revealed, and with him by the chanting of the holy name, his qualities and his divine pastimes. And in this way, the Lord will be perceived in the chanting with his divine flute play. This is how I understand this statement. Is there another interpretation of this?
Both
are fully and all attractive, the Hare Krishna mantra and the flute sound. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gaura Hari.
Yes, according
to Krishna is. This is the quality which we discussed is slightly different. Gaura Hari is asked, how can we develop selflessness? The quality of Krishna is that he is surrounded in Vrindavan with these extremely loving devotees. And one way to approach the love of the devotees is to see how selfless they are. So selfless that we cannot understand this in this world any longer. Now, how to develop selflessness? I want to give an analogy. Yes. If you must advance in the kingdom of love. See, love is like this. As you enter the material world and you enter deeper, the love is more and more clouded by selfishness. There are about 60 different Sanskrit words for love. And on the lowest scale is Trishna. Trishna means thirst. For instance, there are people who violate chastity, the chastity of ladies, and for them, they call this love. I make love to this lady. But it's really a violation, which is a crime, actually. It's the lowest type of love, which is so beyond it, because it's full with selfishness. They just consider that other person an object without any rights, without anything to say. They just infringe on it and take it. This is the lowest degree of love. Now, when it goes higher, there is something like manmata. You can see it in our young Gurukul generations, and it is something like butterflies in the stomach. It is innocent. There is light and Hare Krishna. So that is. Then, as it comes higher and higher, the love it sheds the selfish qualities, so that it goes into priti. And finally it goes more and more, sheds more and more selfishness and goes into higher forms of giving. Here in this world, love is clouded by taking, and the more it becomes into the category of the giving, it becomes closer to the spiritual ideal. This is a little definition of love. Now, how I want to give you an example of Swedish bathing. When you bathe in Sweden, you go on a rock, if you are knowing the adventurous style of bathing, then you go. First, you have to throw a big rock like this to see if the lake is clear enough. I mean, is deep enough, because it's a deep lake, and they are usually have a lot of iron in them, these Swedish lakes. You must first take a big rock, and when the sound is right, then you know it's deep. So then you go afterwards. And as you go in, you go deeper and deeper until it soon becomes unpleasantly cold. And then as you go up, then you go down, like you go around, and then you go higher and higher. And as you go higher, you can understand what love means. You see more and more light, 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 shop, until you're finally out and see. So this is also how you can understand love. As you go down into the material world, it gets darker and darker and colder and more selfish. And as you go up by making spiritual advancement, you come more and more into the light of love, which is selflessness. To make it very simple is, love in the world means my will should happen, and love in the spiritual world means your will should happen, Krishna's will. So this is a very simple definition of love. How to come to this? It's a question of purification. And you must shred yourself from the layers of selfishness by chanting. That's the primordial force of shredding yourself from the covers. Adi Purusha.
Is there anybody else complaining about Krishna's flute except gopis?
Is anyone else complaining about Krishna's flute except the gopis? I've never heard the sadhus complain who get disturbed in the meditations, like the four kumaras. I've never. Oh, you came by and you disturbed us. No? I think they're all attracted, and the gopis are also totally attracted, Adi Purusha. Their harsh words are actually, oh, impossible, you always with your flute, who destroy the natural order of marriage life. They say this to give pleasure to Krishna. It's very clear when we read that the harsh words or complaints in Braj, they're really to enhance the pleasure of Krishna. Jagatarini wishes to know if anyone else knows how to play the flute, and if they know, do they know to count? And if not, do they have an other instrument which can counter?
Is there a way to counter the flute's impellings?
Is there a way to encounter the flute's impelling, drawing nature that it draws? Yeah. Our Shrimati Radharani plays that Kachavavina, which makes Krishna dance, according to the stringed sounds, and then there is a very nice instrument of Radharani, which can counteract the flute. It is described. This is very nice. That by Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur, actually have it. We have it here, the Bhaj and the Hasya, that when Krishna is struck by the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani, his turban falls down and his flute falls also out of his hand. And in this way, Lord Krishna becomes helpless by that transcendental glance of Lord of his dearest devotee Srimati Radharani. I do not think that I will find it immediately here, but it is a very, very nice verse. I have even heard a very loving detail that when Radharani is getting dressed at Radhakund, she is actually dressed in the island of her little sister Ananga Manjari, who has a beautiful island right in the midst of Radhakund, which is reachable only by a crystal bridge. So Srimati Radharani is just getting dressed, and Krishna appears on the bank of Radhakund looking for Srimati Radharani. Ananga Manjari, who's just holding the mirror for Radharani to see her completed Sringa, sees Krishna is there, just where, you know, that, like, I remember, yeah, coming in, where. And then she takes the reflected mirrored impression of Radharani and just beams it to Krishna. Cling, 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 cling. And Krishna sees at the bank of Radhakund Srimati Radharani. And this is really so much that he loses his composure and his flute and turban and everything.
Perhaps that question was asked by someone who had something in their mind.
Yes. What do you have in your mind to ask such a question, Jagatarini? Who taught Krishna to play the flute? I have heard in this book, Venu Gita, that Krishna asked this question, or Krishna is not asked this question. Krishna has just completed a wonderful flute performance in the Vrindavan's forest, where he danced and played the flute in so many novel ways that everyone is applauding. And then the brother of Radharani, Sridham, says, my dear Krishna, you're taking now all this praise for yourself. But is it correct for any disciple to take the praise for something which is not coming out of his own? It is my younger sister who taught you to play the flute. This you must know, and you must publicly declare. You know, like someone will give a Prabhupada disciple credit, or you lecture, then he will say, "It's all the mercy of Prabhupada. I'm chewing remnants here." So you must give credit to your teacher. I'm still trying to find this verse for all of you, but I'm so excited by the talk that I may have overseen it already, and therefore I'm not a competent finder here. Okay, I won't find it. So now we will make a little pause. Radha Madhava has already paused and given us the sign. We will sing a little. And what is the time now, please, Radha Madhava?
12:30.
Oh, no, this is the end of the program. 12:30, isn't it?
Wasn't there one more, though?
Yeah, there's one more quality. But if we would hurry this now, I think we should end latest quarter to one, so that everyone can get. That when we speak of these qualities of Lord Krishna, like his flute playing, and his we will speak a little later about his beauty, that these are qualities which cannot be seen as external qualities. It is wrong to think that Krishna has this attractive flute just because he is just a good musician, and so on. It is the beauty which is inside of him, and the sweetness which is inside of him, which represents outside. When we meet the next time, we will hear about Krishna's exquisite beauty, his Rupa Madhurya. And today I was reminded by a very advanced devotee that Jiva Goswami says, I was informed, I did not know this, that Jiva Goswami says that the beauty of Lord Krishna is inside, and it manifests outside. I remember, for just for an analogy, that in Serbia we once had 1 hour to present Krishna consciousness on TV, and we chose to go there with our celebrated Nityananda band, and we had played very nice songs there. And then I had spoken something, and at the end the journalist who interviewed us came to me and said, "Please tell me, how do you do this with a smile? I'm trying to also smile, because it's very important to smile on the TV, because then you can have more people who like to see you." It says, a smile is the key to everyone's heart. No heart can be closed if you smile properly. So I can give you some money if you tell me the secret, and what muscles you move, or or do you eat some chewing gum before, or and I said to him, "No, it comes from inside. It is not something with the muscles. The muscles follow the inside mood." So real beauty is also something which is coming from the inside. It can never be an external feature. Otherwise, it's not beautiful. And you can see this very much in, you know, sometimes the materialists adore beautiful men and beautiful women. And they look extremely nice and have proper measurements. The ankles are in a proper measurement, only 5 centimeters maybe around the ankles. And they have all the different measurements which are considered perfect. But for a sensitive individual, the person may look cruel, who looks so beautiful, or highly arrogant, and so on. So one doesn't even want to meet such a person, not even in a dream, because beauty has to come from inside. And this is when the flute play of Lord Krishna is not some skilled music. It is the love of Lord Krishna which extends to us. And it calls to us, "Hey Radha Madhava, come. Hey Dhruva, come. Don't waste your time. Don't put the roots of attachment in the ground of this world. Just stretch your roots of attachments upward to Krishna." And this way it calls. It's a loving call. So Hare Krishna, I'm very, very thankful for you to listen to this. I must also say I'm slightly toasted by the sun, and some critics of dress have reminded me that a warm winter pullover is not the appropriate dress for this time of the day. So I'm no longer able to speak now. I'm melting from the heat which is on my pullover and my life. So I thank you very much. And we will all convene together when Burijan Prabhu afternoon session is. Please, you say in your inimitable way. Yeah, you have to give credit, yeah.
Should I say?
Yes. Yes, you must. Yeah.